The Joe Rose Show continues now. First, a word from our friends out west.
Well, thank you very much, Hollywood. Hi, everybody. It's Mike Hunt. And on a serious note, on behalf of all of us here in Milpitas, we are thinking of you in Florida. Hey, stay safe out there, all right? And let's send it back to Joe and Trojan legend, 7-0 Mo, Mr. Milpitas.
He never stops, Bo. It just never stops. The mayor keeps calling in, man. He just can't leave it around.
Yeah, it's
getting old. I know.
Nah, well, you know what? It's
getting old. But
childish people never grow up. You know, how
look at him.
How old
look at one of them right now.
How old is Hollywood? Like what? 40? 45? What are you?
45. He's in his 30s, man. He's in his 30s. But he acts like he's like 12, exactly, to your point.
Yeah, oh, my God. Look at that stadium up in Tampa, boy. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, the top wow. Just.
Wow.
Yeah, holy smokes. Yeah, the picture's coming out this morning. That's.
So I'm watching. I'm seeing that. And they got Tim Kirchin. He's doing a live shot from his hotel room. He's got, you see his bed behind him.
So oh man!
He's sitting at that little desk, that you got.
Yeah.
He's using that pen from the hotel, that little pad of paper for notes and stuff.
It's unbelievable. Well, listen, it's baseball was good last night, though. I got to tell
baseball's
you,
baseball's good. Baseball's good right now.
Saw Lindor hit a grand slam. Like you can't have the Mets to win a round against the Phillies, who are one of the favorites.
You guys like that. You got, okay, you hit a home run. No, it's a grand slam.
It's a grand slam,
right? And they were struggling.
They were struggling. They couldn't get it. They finally get the bases loaded.
It was 1-0 forever.
He catches 100-mile-an-hour fastball right down the middle, and it is gone to right center.
The only thing about that I like that Philly team with Harper and those guys. That was a pretty good story. So you hate to see it, but I like to see. I'm glad the Mets are.
They went cold.
Yeah, they did.
They went cold, man. There's some guys that are wearing a funk and not in big slumps, and that's a bad time, boy. You want to have things rolling, and hey, we got a game 5 between the Dodgers and Padres,
who
absolutely don't like each other at all. There's some bad blood the other night.
But it's got to be Dodgers Mets, right? Padres Mets would be a little. I mean, Padres Mets be a little bit of a downer because you want to see Ohtani, right?
You got to see Ohtani. I'll be honest. A perfect World Series is the Yankees and the Dodgers.
Yeah, no question. Two big baseball markets
with star power, both of them, it would be great. And let them go at it. I don't think anybody's better than Ohtani right now.
No, I think
Shohei Ohtani is the best, not because of what he did here, but.
You know what? He may be, and this is saying like, he may be the best player that's in baseball ever. I mean, if he can keep doing this and comes back and pitches again, man, that's
I don't think it's crazy to say that.
I don't think so either. Now look, if
he struck out, he had all those strikeouts before.
If he's short-lived or whatever, and he burns out in 2 or 3 years,
I wouldn't let him pitch. By the way,
well,
I would never let him pitch.
Yeah, I would.
We're paying you to play every day and hit. I'd say that
to me is a problem with baseball. Joe, we've talked about this here. When we grew up playing Little League, and you ask me if I'm wrong. When you played Little League in Marysville, there was one guy or two guys there that pitched and hit the most home runs, right?
One guy was always the best. He played shortstop, and when he wasn't shortstop, he pitched. Yeah.
Pitched, hit, and hit like however many home runs. You play like 13 games, you hit like 9 home runs.
Right.
Then he goes to high school, pitches, hits like 350. A bunch of dingers.
Striking out a ton of guys.
Then they go to the bigs. Oh, no, you can't hit anymore. Well, why not? Why not?
I know you said this before.
I know.
I just disagree. I can't afford to have him blow out.
No, I understand that.
Blow out his arm again.
I understand it.
And by the way, he wants to pitch. I mean, he's out there warming it up,
He's planning on going back and pitching next year. They're going to have to tie him down to that bench.
But I'll tell you what, those numbers he put up without pitching.
Woo.
I'll take those numbers. The guy that he I think he's like 6'3 or 6'4.
He's huge.
And he steals bases like he's Lou Brock.
Yep. And you look at him at the plate, man. You don't see guys, he just looks so comfortable at the plate. Like knows what's coming. and just nice stroke. And
but when he hits them, Bo, he's hitting them like he's on steroids. I know he's not, but
I don't know what his numbers were in Japan, but in those little ballparks, he must have shredded them back there.
Keep joking about that, by the way. It's not funny. We don't want to joke that way.
No.
Because then we'll find out he is, and I don't think
he is. That's why I'm saying I would never bring it up.
I guess they've got one of the other guys from Japan coming over. That's kind of
same guy,
similar type. Well,
they got
guy,
a couple yeah. guys supposed to be great pitchers yeah. too, yeah. but yeah. I think those guys all get to a point because Japanese players have had great
yeah.
success over here, and they can make a lot of money.
Yep.
And I think it's like you got to play the ultimate. You got to come over and play yeah. in the biggest league
yeah.
there is. And,
yeah.
and if you're good, like Ohtani,
yeah.
It's fantastic. Yeah. So you're able to get that. Hey, by the way, you went to Panthers opener the other day, man.
I did. I wanted to see the banner go up. That was the highlight of the game, watching the banner go up. And you know what? I'm watching it And I'm looking at the players, and the players, you know, they zoomed in the players, you know, the emotion from those players, and they all had their arms around, they're in a line with their arms around each, you know, around each other's neck, and you know Joe, we've been on some really close teams, you know, that most of our players liked each, some we didn't, but you know,
most guys really did close, get along, yeah,
really got to get along. You could see that in that team, just
yeah,
that
I agree,
just the you know because. You know, when you go through something tough, like, you know, and the coach puts them through tough workouts, so that kind of gets you close. It's kind of us against him a little bit. But and watching those guys and the fans were just going crazy.
Yeah, no.
What a scene.
They did something. I didn't know if it would ever happen. We used to call it home of the 401K, guys would come at the end of their careers and just want to be down there, and their families could come down, you know, when the winters was ugly in Canada and everything else, but these, and then I hear Carter Verhaeghe, who just took the new contract,
yeah.
one of the last guys. Bennett's contract's going to be up too, but 8-year deal, and he was like, "This is the only place I wanted to yeah. be, man." Like the experience of playing with these guys and what we've built, and I was like, "That's why you have your core of guys that they're all back and they're all so damn good."
This Boston Panther thing. You know, they've got a couple guys that they've got from Boston, and they both got in fights right off the bat.
They went at it
with their own team. But I'm going to tell you what, almost every – and there was a bunch of fights in that game. And not that I'm – you know, not that, that that's the thing about the – but that those Boston – those Bruins, they hate Tkachuk. Hate Tkachuk. Every time there was a fight – so you see somebody over there maybe coming from behind and just – even if he's just standing on the outskirts, he gets into – they're coming in and rubbing.
Yeah.
I mean, they hate that guy.
It's, you know, he's funny.
Which makes it fun.
Because he's chippy. He doesn't back down from anybody.
No. He's not backing down from anybody.
We found out he could fight a little bit last year too. So, no, you're right. And, of course, there was a lot of rumors that might be a trade to bring his brother down here too, which would have been he and his brother and the old man together. Yeah. My God, that might have been a little crazy down here. But they made it fun what they did, man. They did make it so much fun the off season. I know you got to see a lot of it out east and coming to your restaurants and everything that they did.
But I tell you what, they came to play. I mean, that first period was crazy. I mean,
no, I thought there might be if there was going to be a celebration.
Yeah, everyone out. No,
got
a
rings
no,
last
no, no,
night
man.
With the family.
They came out swinging and they came out shooting.
Boy, they were up and up big, like we said, in that 6-4 win, 4 goals in the first period of that game.
They must have scored. We stayed there until we were in a friend's box, and we were the last ones in there. Everyone else left. And we left with, like, maybe, I don't know, 3 minutes, maybe even a little less than 3 minutes, and they scored 2 goals.
Yeah.
We left, it was 4-6-2. And then by the time we got the car, it's 6-4. Yeah. What the heck happened?
Yeah, they did score a couple of goals late in that game, but. You know, by
it
then
was
it was. But what a fun product, man! They've done it, the Panthers, and they just look like they are so well run from top to bottom. Starting with
Vinny, our boy Goldie's gonna get one of those nice rings. Those rings are beautiful.
He didn't get it yet, but man, they got it. They got to take care of that guy. Get his ring.
I know he's gonna get his ring.
He'll get it. I'm kind of jealous.
The Docs are all getting their rings.
They got
all the boys from.
I got the picture.
Baptist Health.
They sent me the picture. Yeah. I go those
rubbing it in.
Oh, the Baptist Health guys. There they are, man. I was cracking
up. You see that ring on the inside of the ring? They got the little rat in there?
No, I didn't see that.
So the inside of the ring, if you look in the inside of the ring, you know, that goes against your finger, they've got in the broad part of it, the thick part of it, they've got all the playoff win, the series.
Yeah.
Series, you know, 4-2, you know, 4-3, and then they got a line through it, so, you know, got those knocked out. And then they got a little black rat just kind of sitting there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Well, I'll tell you what, they were gaudy, and that's the way they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
I mean, they got to be big, and when you take it out, you want everybody to just stop for a second.
You know what? I was in – we were in Vegas a couple of years ago, and some guy sits down at the table and puts his hands down, and he played on one of the Super Bowl teams. He had that – you know, the NFL Super Bowl, the Super Bowl rings are like
– oh, they've got –
they're gigantic. And he puts that thing down on the table, the blackjack table, and go, whoa, everyone's like, whoa, look at that, you know? He goes, oh, no, geez, I don't need the attention, but look, check it out. You know?
That's Tom Brady. Anytime any of those guys try to get on Tom Brady, he just goes, I'm sorry, I got seven now. How many do you have? That one? Oh, that's great. That's really nice. How's that feel with that one? It's lonely. I got a family full of those suckers. Hey, we got to go to break here. Kim Bocamper's with us. We got a lot of stuff to get to here this morning as we continue on here. We got a great week of games coming up. Man, my God, Washington at the Ravens. Has got to be right. And the Lions go to play the Cowboys. And Monday Night Football in the AFC East for first place, the Bills go to New York to play Aaron Rodgers and the Jets.
So, Joe, you know, not for nothing, Dolphins in a bye week, only one game behind the Bills.
I know.
You know, two weeks ago that ship was sinking pretty quickly. Now we're one game behind the Bills.
If you could just, Bo, if I know we got one more game. The Colts, but we have one more before Tua comes back, most likely. I mean, let's stop with all that.
Yeah.
He may come back, or maybe he's going to be back to kind of get things.
Yeah, if you come out this 3-3, if you can get this game,
and not fall behind. All right. Anyway, hey, right now I want to talk to you about a couple of guys who are big sports fans. Harvey Cohen, big Dolphins fan, and Gary Judah. Yes, the partners of Cohen and Judah, injury law firm, personal injury attorneys in Plantation, and the same partners who handle your case from start to finish, more than 33 years of experience each, big enough to go to trial and get you a multi-million dollar result and small enough just to call you back. No matter what your injury is, no matter what you need, you get a call back. And by the way, they don't hand you off to another attorney. They are the attorneys that will handle your case from start to finish. Go to CohenandJudah.com, read the reviews, partners who you can always reach. By the way, this communication thing, if you're somewhere right now, for whatever reason, you went to another law firm, that's fine. There's a bunch of them out there. And all of a sudden, you got that handoff to a new attorney that's there that's doing all that and has maybe too many cases to handle, and you don't feel like you're a priority anymore. You're always a priority at Cohen and Judah. Go to Cohen and Judah, get more information, find out what people are saying about them, and come over. Doesn't cost you a dime to have them look at your case as well. So these really are attorneys who care. Remember, they don't pay other lawyers to do the work you hire them to do. They do it. That's 866-FAIR-FEE, 866-FAIR-FEE, or go to CohenandJudah.com. All right, welcome back, and good morning to everybody. Kim Bocamper in with us. Woody's back with us this morning as well. As we got a lot of stuff going. All right, Bo, we haven't really talked about our own team here. We've been talking about everybody else and these great games coming up, including San Francisco at Seattle. We already lost to Seattle. We got San Francisco coming to Hard Rock here later on in the year. And then Washington at the Ravens, Lions at the Cowboys, and then Monday Night Football, just to kind of splash through the good games here. Bills at Jets.
So, Joe, you did the bye. How many games will you watch?
A bunch. I'm on that red zone, man.
Yeah.
I'm watching all the highlights. Yeah. That's the greatest thing going. You get all the good plays, whether it's a sack or a huge third down and the whole thing. So, 15-10 win. Bo, I got to be honest. A win is a win. I came into work, though, and I was like, I started looking at numbers, they're back in the end zone from winning a game that was called a touchdown. Yep. And so, hey, listen, man, I understand Mike's got to, like, you know, put the positive spin, although he did say we got a lot of things to clean up, and I got to look at.
That's pretty evident to everybody. You know, we do the post-game show right after, immediately after the game, and And I'm standing there going, okay, which way do I go here? Do I go with all the bad stuff? Because there was a lot of bad stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of bad stuff in that game. And they were really one heel away from being, you know, being a devastating loss.
Terrible.
To this football team. And then I decided, hey, look, you know what? I'm not going to rain on their parade. A win's a win, man.
Yep.
A win's a
They're
win.
Hard
you,
to get.
You don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Take it. Move on. So I kind of went to that stance. Because I look, most of these guys work really hard, really hard. And you know how it feels. You know how it feels when you lose. I don't know that we ever went through a three-game losing streak when we played. I don't know. I don't recall.
Not too many.
But if we did, I could know. I would imagine just how they felt. And so you want to just give them a little uplift a little bit. But boy, there's a lot of issues. And in particular. And this has gone on now for 3 years here. Special teams, you know, are not very special. You know, they're struggling.
Overall, field position.
You know, when we had Danny Crossman in during the preseason in one of the production meetings, and I asked him about, hey, how do you think about Jason Sanders? What do you feel? Because he was a little shaky last year with especially with the long field goals. Oh no, we're happening. And now he's missed three field goals. Clangs the one after kicking it through where you get a penalty and you get pushed back. You know, when you're feeling okay, we got another field goal and then boom, you get the penalty, you get pushed back, you clang it off the upright, and there you go. You miss another one and then snapping. You know, so they go through a game where I didn't see the onside kick because I was getting ready for the post game. So it was an onside punt,
yeah.
Right? That the Dolphins tried, that Tennessee
yes.
took, and then they were able to score. So you take that, then you go to a game where you get one blocked, then you go to a game where you dribble one back to the holder.
Right. Ferguson's been so good.
Then you get the one where you make it, but you're offsides. Now you move it 5 yards back and you clang it.
Right.
And this has become. This has become a pattern, and this has become something that needs to be fixed, and needs to be fixed right now. You can't give away points. You can't take points off the board. You can't. You know you open up the game with back to back sacks, and you feel really good back offensively. You move the ball down the field, and then you miss the field goal, right? I think that's what happened for.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden. I look over in that sideline, and it's almost like a here we go again.
You know,
and it just came to be felt like yeah. it just one thing after that stacked upon another on another, for a good 59 minutes of that game. Right, I think when did they score the
they scored
minutes left.
We scored with 4 minutes left.
Yeah, with 4 minutes left. So for what's that 56 minutes of the game. It was horrible.
Yeah, we finally put a drive together. Yeah. By the way, got a pass interference call.
Yep, get the 80 yards.
That helped.
Yep.
But they're 2 for 11 on third down.
Yep.
Killer. And the other killer is the 22-yard shotgun snap pass.
Yep, yep.
And that knocks you out of field goal range.
Yep.
And so, but these little things that are happening yep. are like.
So I'll say this, though, Joe. I'm not going to go overboard with this, but I thought Tyler Huntley. I thought you saw improvement from
his first game to his next game. No question.
And I agree with you. You know, you'd like to see him maybe run for those first downs a little more. He did. He did at one point, but you'd like to see him use that ability a little more as he goes on until as we all assume that Tua is going to come back. But he certainly wasn't the problem. Certainly wasn't a problem in that game.
Actually, I mean, these aren't numbers we're used to, but you have Hill, 6 catches, yep. 69. Smith, Jonnu Smith, 5 for 62. And Waddle, 4 for 46. They yep. haven't had as a group those kind of numbers.
Well,
as
how long have we been waiting for Jonnu Smith to get multiple?
Right.
You know, I mean, 5 catches for him was more than we've seen, I believe, in a game.
It is.
This season.
The 62 yards was yep. was good.
And so you'd like to build on. I'd like to build on that a little more.
You know, it's an interesting one. I don't know what we're going to get. I understand he was rusty, Odell Beckham.
Yeah. Well,
10 or 12 snaps.
Yeah.
He didn't look comfortable. And I know he hasn't yeah. played for a long, long time. But
Well, you look. You know me. I'm a little down on Odell Beckham. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't. You commit to a football team. Why don't you commit to him? You know. I don't want to hear this.
He basically got talked to. I saw the Omar article.
Well, yeah, but
talking him into playing.
I understand that, but. You know, so you're going to grace us with your presence here after not coming to mini camp, not being here for OTAs, you know, not playing, not working during the preseason, not playing any preseason games, going on PUP or whatever it is, and sitting out for 4 weeks and not playing, and you know, I don't know, maybe it's just me.
Well, the team claims they knew all this stuff, which is really hard for me to believe that counting on a third receiver that you're going to get for 11 or 12 games.
What do you call it? 401k plan?
401k program.
But
he said he can make this money. I mean,
then go make it then. Don't act like you're doing us a favor. You know, I got bad personal things, I got business things, and look, you know, I just, you know me. This is my deal with the, you know, I look at guys, and he's one of those guys that you look at that had 3 good years. I'll give it that. He's living on one catch at 3 good years. And then what has he done since then? He's been on a number of different teams. And if he's so good or so valuable, why didn't any of those teams keep him for another year? Yeah. And I know money had something to do with it. But, you know, his numbers are you know, from after 3 years are very, very – maybe not even pedestrian.
Yeah,
you know.
No, they dropped off last year.
I don't hold a lot of stock in. Look, to me, he's not Devontae Parker, but I mean, look at him. Like, remember Devontae Parker? You know, he showed you some really good stuff, and then he's out for four weeks.
Got hurt a lot.
Show you a little bit, and out for 4 weeks, and at one point you just go, well, that's the guy he's going to be. You know,
we got to go to break here, but are we good enough defensively? The defense ranked right there.
Well, you know, losing Jalen Phillips, not having Bradley Chubb is an issue.
Yeah.
I think we can see that Mo Kamara is not ready. Because if Mo was ready, he'd be playing ahead of a guy that they just picked up on a practice squad yesterday or last week. And look, I, you know me and Chop. I don't see much out of Chop. And I'll say, so you come into a game, your first defensive series, you put Duke Riley out in that outside linebacker position. He gets kicked out by a fullback, and you get a big run up the sideline. And then they bring in the guy, Bowser, right, who'd been here for a day or two, and put him at that spot, and you got Chop sitting on the sideline. That, to me, speaks a little bit.
Yeah. Well, they have nothing in common with what they had last year with Chubb and Phillips and Van Ginkle, Wilkins, and Sealer.
Yeah.
There's definitely.
It doesn't help that Van Ginkle's like, you know, running back 60-yard interceptions and
two of them already. Got two already and 3 sacks in Minnesota. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. All right, we got to go to break here. We do have a lot more stuff to get to here this morning, like Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. Excuse me. I love talking about Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage because he's out to take and help you quickly when it comes to a mortgage you need or you need to get a second mortgage. First-time home buyer rates, he's got fixed rates in the fives right now, the reverse mortgage. If you're 62 or older, you and your spouse, it might just be perfect for you to get all that equity out of your home. You paid your home off, could really use that money, and still have a place to live. That's what the reverse mortgage is all about. That's why it's so popular with folks in their 60s and up. So many people are using it right now. First-time home buyer rates, fixed rates in the five, self-employed and declined by the banks. Don't worry. Michael Kotze's got a great program for you, too. He's doing it all. He really is. He gets you approved in half the time of the big banks. Work 7 days a week so you can always get a hold of him. When you're out looking to buy a home or buy a piece of property, Michael Kotze, you can always get a hold of him, even on the weekends. He really has no life. He's always working. 7 days a week, you can call or text him. Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. Been in the business here in South Florida for 33 years. 561-441-2730. That's 561-441-2730. MLS 166-254. Rates and terms subject to change daily without notice. He's an equal housing lender. Well, I hope we're better now. That's all we're hoping for sure. Good morning to everybody out there. As I, you know, as bad as the news is up in Tampa Bay, I got up this morning. I was shocked. I went to bed. They said it was going to be rain and wind in the 30 or 40 yeah. mile an hour winds, and Bo is nice.
You know, I went out about, I was home most of the day yesterday, and I'm getting, it's noon. I go, man, there's not really nothing going on here. And then about 3 o'clock, the wind started whipping up a little bit. So I went out in the back, and we have, a little patio, like little cushions on patio furniture or whatever, and some little tables back there that are light. And so I kind of put them away and did this and that, and, because the wind was starting, and then nothing. And then I woke up this morning. The great thing about this morning, no one was on the road. on the road.
No, everybody stayed home.
Yeah.
Everybody, I think everything just about is closed today.
And look, I'm looking up here at the map. It's pretty much gone through the state of Florida. Now it's just cleaning up the mess, and what a mess it's going to be up there.
Up there.
But I think even they were lucky from a standpoint that it really didn't. They're expecting to come across as a Category 5. I think when it hit, it was a Category 3.
Yeah.
And then it quickly went to a Category 2 in the middle, which is nothing to sneeze about. But, when you look at what could have been had it came in fully barreling in right in Tampa Bay, it dropped down a little bit, hit Sarasota, and you feel bad for them. But it certainly, I remember I was watching this coverage, and instead of the water rising up, it was actually getting blown out of Tampa Bay because they're getting the other side of it. The wind blowing it back out to the ocean, which kind of helped them a little bit.
Well, I hope so. Any kind of good news they could get.
But it's just what a
– Yeah.
It's still a disaster up there.
No, and it's going to take a while, too, for all those areas over on by the water there.
But if you're out there and you didn't come to work, and then your boss says you didn't have to come to work, man, you got a good day to stay. It's beautiful outside.
But the problem is you got the kids home with you.
That's right.
Because they no school today before we get our high school football – Friday kicked off again tomorrow.
So that means Hollywood's got his kids home, so he's going to stay in here all day.
Woody, I asked him yesterday. He goes, no.
He's not going to go home till 9 o'clock.
Oh no, he said, hell no. That he got that one little. He got that one little wild one.
He's going to go home after bedtime.
Yeah, this is tough. Not a good situation.
Woody's got two boys. I say this all the time. I hope Woody never gets mad at me. Leon is the perfect kid. The kid that was at the Panther
parade. That kid stood there
and watched it.
I think he put him on a potted plant or something, and had him stand there, and that kid never moved a muscle. And he would just beeline his eyes.
He was the lowest maintenance kid of all time. He's a sweetheart of a kid. Now, Max.
Yeah.
Max got some demon in him. Max, they may have to.
Yeah, he was up at like 5 in the morning. That was rough.
No, two kids are alike.
Yeah.
Max, we're at the monster truck, and Max is sprinting up and down. The first Woody's chasing, then the wife's chasing him, and he's just all over the place. He goes, I'm not sitting still and watch this stuff. And
the oldest one gave me last night is he wanted to watch the end of the Yankee game. That was it. He just wanted to see Judge bat the last time. And
how many kids that age already know all these guys?
I don't know.
It's crazy.
We're trying to see if his baseball game is going to be back on tonight, since the weather's nice. They had already canceled it. But
oh, man. Well, we got a lot of stuff going on here. Panthers back in action tonight, their second game in Ottawa. And we found out some great stuff, Spo. We're never surprised, but the NBA GMs come out.
Yeah,
and they have the list, and Spo was named the league's best head coach again.
Yeah,
for defensive schemes, not surprised. He goes that zone and mess. It's always amazing. He goes man to man, and people are having success, and he throws the zone in, and like people, they don't score. Like they have 12-point quarters and stuff. Manager, motivator, the whole thing. So Spo gets that, but his team not in the top seven in the East, Bo.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler motivated, or is he happy with Pat?
Well, I think based on what we've seen so far, and this is, we're not even into when's the regular season start?
We got two weeks, end of the month.
I think we're going to see Jimmy Butler play more regular season games at a higher level. That's what I'm thinking. I could be completely wrong.
I think he's going to be motivated,
but I don't think he's going to. I don't think he's going to be complaining about having to fly to Milwaukee or wherever it is for a exhibition game like LeBron is moping about. You hear about this, LeBron?
Yeah, that was a bad look yesterday.
Come on now. They're redoing the stadium. They're redoing their arena. So what does he want the NBA to do? What does he want them to do? Build an arena for him, a temporary arena, so he doesn't have to go anywhere. play at a high school gym? Oh, geez, I don't know why we got to fly to – it's Milwaukee, right?
I don't know why
we got to fly to Milwaukee for an exhibition. Because it's an exhibition game.
Right.
Because you're on a team and you got to go, jackass.
Well, how about because he's making $48 million?
I know. We'll
I think the money.
Yeah,
that's
then.
The whole thing was that nobody no, – listen.
Nobody wants to hear him complain.
Nobody wants to hear anybody – some of this money guys are making
now. Him and Bronny, take your own plane and go
and
do it.
And they let him take his kid on the team.
Did they cut Bronny yet?
No, he's good to go.
Oh, he got one of those spots on that. As soon as they drafted him.
No doubt.
As soon as he got drafted, they were like, you want the 14th spot on the bench or the 15th?
No, he's good to go.
He will not. He'll be with his father every night. They played him together the other night a little bit.
Yeah.
It actually is a nice story, but yeah, him complaining about getting
it's a
on
good
a
story if
go
he wasn't such a douche.
Like,
you know, I mean, if you just, you know, he
that's weak.
You know, when LeBron was here, I was really impressed with him. You know, because I remember being in talking, and someone asked a question to LeBron at the time, said, LeBron, it seems every time you're on the court, I mean, you play 100%, you just give it your all, and his answer was, well, you know, he says, why do you do that? He says, well, you know, because I don't know when there's going to be one kid up in that stand in the stands that this is going to be the only time he's ever going to see me play, and I want him to see me play at my best.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of gone by the wayside now.
Yeah,
now
we didn't see him for a few years down here.
Right.
We were getting to think he always rested when he came down here. Right, you know, LeBron won't be in a lineup tonight. He's got to rest.
He's kind of down on my list, but you know, not that I speak about him. All I'm doing is watching Van Ginkle go 60 something yards with an interception off of our boy there.
If there's one guy, and you've been on this too. If there's one guy you could have saved, although you're on to Christian Wilkins too, but. But Van Ginkle for the price and
but,
what
look,
he's doing
I'll give
for
you
that
this.
Team.
I, you know, Gink's a funny guy. He likes that cold weather. You know, he's a Wisconsin guy.
He does.
And he talked about he loves being up there. He loves hunting, doing
a lot closer to home.
He's a family guy. And so I think that played on it a little bit. But, you know, you throw a few bucks on there and he'd be down here. But.
I know the two coaches he's had in the past liked him, Vic and Brian.
Ooh, you know, Brian couldn't wait to get him up there.
And has him fit right into the scheme. And like I said, three sacks and two defensive scores already.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Two pick sixes already in this season is crazy numbers. All right. So we've got Monday Night Football. Bills at the Jets for first place, which is just crazy considering the Jets and the drama they just went through with Robert Saleh got back home from London and got fired, and Aaron Rodgers and Nathaniel Hackett and Woody Johnson and Jeff Ulbrich, the defense coordinator, now going to be the head coach and everything else, and they're playing for first place.
The Jets have always been that kind of team. The Jets were that team when we were playing them, right?
Yes.
Just kind of uncoordinated maybe not from a team standpoint, but certainly from the higher up, from the upper office, and you know all the.
There were a lot of guys on that team. I remember Klecko and Gastineau did not like each other.
Yeah,
Klecko did not have.
Yeah. Well, nobody liked Gastineau.
No, Gastineau was one of the most disliked human beings ever playing the NFL
On his own team. Yeah. They despise the guy.
The Hollywood, the Joe Namath of defenses just didn't work like it did for Joe Namath.
Yeah. He's like
never.
A Jim Druckenmiller walking around the locker room in like tiny bikini shorts and stuff like
so
that.
So you can show you lift a lot of weights and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, we got some stories to tell, Bo. I'll tell you, man. It just never ends.
But the Jets always have seemed to be, you know, the Joe Waltons, the Michaels, and the coaches and all this stuff. They just, you know, they've just never got it going the right way. And even when they're a good team, that's some the bottom falls out at some
yeah,
point.
Yeah, no, something happened. We played them in an AFC championship game, and it's just when you hear some of those guys talk about each other and, like, just never really. And then I'm sure playing in New York's not easy.
No, but they made a lot of money, brother. I mean, you know.
Yeah, no question. Yes. No question about that one. You can do a lot. Hey, let's talk podcast here, man, for a second here. Out the Pasture, podcast.com.
Yep, that brings you to our website. You can go on Spotify. You can go to iHeart Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, you can hear them on. You got the audio, and then you got the and you go on YouTube, and you get to see Joe and I, and you get to see our guests. We just had Michael Silver. We've got the Brews brothers, Glenn and Lyle, going to get to come our way. Glenn,
the Blackwood brothers.
Lyle. So this is like, you know, Lyle. So Lyle goes on vacation to Cancun last week or this week, and the hurricane's like spinning right over the top of his head. I go, Lyle, come
That's
on.
That's Lyle.
That's Lyle, right?
That's Lyle's luck right
so
there.
So we got them coming up. We've got a guy named Pat Burns who is going to talk on concussions. He was a former Miami-Dade Metro cop, and started training kids in the PAL program, police athletic program, boxing, and then became a professional trainer. And he's trained over I think he's trained 6 world champions, and a bunch of big time contenders. And so we're going to talk to him about the boxing industry. And you know, the one question I asked him, I said, you know, everyone's so concerned with the football players. And the concussion situation, no one cares about the boxers who get their brains beat out every time they go out. And nobody cares.
The Joe Frazier, Muhammad Ali.
Nobody cares about those guys. No one talks. No one brings that up. Hey, well, why don't they do something to make boxing more? They don't care.
You think anybody cared? Those guys, I wish they would have fought. They fought 3 times. I wish they would have fought 8 times.
10 times. Oh, my God.
They were so good.
Everyone was a war. You know, there was that time in when it was kind of when we were in our prime, in the mid-70s and really early on boxing, where, man, you had so many good Wilfredo Benitez, Roberto Duran, Hagler, you know, I mean, just great at all divisions. You know, Kenny Norton. You had so many good fights. I remember watching them on Wide World of Sports on Saturday nights or Sunday nights or Sunday evening whenever
before
it came
on. Before pay-per-view got a hold
before
of pay-per-view.
I mean, I watched almost all of Muhammad Ali's fights, all of Joe's Frazier fights, on Wide World of Sports for free on free TV.
It seemed like Madison Square Garden was great. The Mexican fights out on Friday night growing up in California.
Live from the, what was it? What was that arena down there in L.A.?
Sportatorium.
I forget. It was some arena in L.A. that was Friday night fights, man.
Just was awesome. Yep. Those guys, and by the way, neither guy moved. They just sit and try to knock each other out till one guy finally dropped.
Yeah. So the podcast is going well, and you know, we always try to get something in there. You know, part of our goal with that is to get people that are our age, you know, baby boomers now from 50 on, to realize that, you know, there's a lot of life left to live, and we're trying to give you tips on how to live it better.
Yeah.
How to feel better about it.
Well, I got
to
give you a lot of credit, man.
How to feel better at it, feel good about just, hey, let me, if I've got 5 years left in my life, let me figure out how much joy I can get out of these 5 years. Instead of lamenting that, hey, I'm getting old, you know.
Right.
Change your thinking a little bit. Just think positive instead of, woe is me, you know.
We're just talking during the break, man. I'm really proud of you, the changes
made, I feel
man.
Great.
I'm dead serious. You got the AFib thing, which was a, people don't know.
And look, I've gone through my psychological. I've seen therapists. I've seen psychiatrists. I went through that, and you know, that's another message. You know, if you're going through, you know, we talked about the Beckham, you know, and he's, you know, talked with Omar and talked about mental situations, and so now
Jay
you're starting
Phillips,
to,
both those
now
guys,
you're starting to see guys like back in the day when we had OJ McDuffie on. We're talking about mental issues. He said, back in our day, if someone knew you were going to a therapist, they thought that they were down on you.
Yeah, you're mentally weak.
Yeah, you're weak.
Snap out of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but that's stop all being a that's all changed.
Soft,
and
yeah.
And so that's the kind of message that we're trying to deliver to people is that, hey, look, you know, we're all gonna be underground at some point, but the time you've got here on the top of the earth is, you'll make the best of it.
Yeah.
You know?
No, man.
Matter what ills you have.
It's been great. We had some great doctors on. We're going to have a lot more guys on to cover a lot more stuff that we're doing. So it's been a lot of
Joe,
fun.
You know, for you and I mean, you know, Baptist Health for us has been great. I mean, our association with them, their association with the Dolphins have kind of given us a little entree to them. And, boy, without their docs, with Schwartzen and Uribe and Yagnik and all those guys, I don't know where we'd be, you know?
They well, I'll tell you what, to get the help that we get and get in quickly to get stuff. Had AFib and got that.
You know, I know we're very fortunate about this, but, you know, I stand on the sideline. I see Dr. Schwartz. I said, Doc, I got you. He gets on the phone. He goes, okay, I got you an appointment at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Right? He said.
Yeah.
So they asked me, they go, did you get your AFib done? I go, no. I said, something came up in California. I couldn't get it done. And so I said, but I need to get it done. I can tell. Got on the phone. He says, all right, bye week.
There you
You're
go.
Done. Get bye in, week get work. In,
yeah.
So I give you time to,
yeah,
because you can't travel for a while. So
hey, look,
I was like,
they,
let's
we
do
get
it.
That access, but to everybody, it's available for everybody, man.
They got, and they cover it all. They really do. Yeah. They got something for everybody because we're using a cardiologist and
speed dial.
Just a quick one, Bo. That's it. Hey, Bo, thanks, man.
Yeah, always
I,
a pleasure.
Always
man.
Appreciate it, bud. All the great stuff and being with you and hanging out, you and
Remember
I.
Remember outtopastorpodcast.com.
Yeah, there that's it. Very easy. You got to give us a shot, too. Give us a shot out there if you're looking for stuff.
And
if nothing
on,
else,
if
just a couple
on,
of dumbasses.
Like, do all those. So I'm getting the knack of it now. Hollywood's teaching me how to do the podcast lingo and stuff here.
Don't like, love.
No, don't. You got to don't like.
Do, don't like.
If you don't like it, just coming up, just don't do anything.
Yes, don't. All right, that's the deal. Hey, we got to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers for just a second, man. We like to say play hard, work hard. That's what it's all about with locations in Dade, Broward, and Monroe County. Check out the 2024 Chevy Colorado, powerful and performance-ready with easy-to-reach tech features. Man, and don't forget about the 2024 Silverado with impressive towing, powerful engines. Whatever it is you're looking for, we make a Silverado truck that's absolutely perfect for your lifestyle. And what about the Tahoes? Not a bad combination to be talking about. Silverado, the Colorado, and the Tahoe have what you need to get things done. I'm telling you right now, Chevy trucks will get the job done, work or play. When you want to do it all, Chevy's got you with the best products they've ever had. Best cars, trucks, and SUVs. Chevrolet together. Let's drive. See your South Florida Chevy dealers today.